Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Miraj Muhammad, live on your Blog Talk Radio. I'm coming to you at 7 p.m. Tuesday evening to 9 o'clock, 2 hours this evening. And it gives me great privilege, and surely I am highly honored to be able to say something to the right, for it gives me barakat, meaning in English, blessings. It is blessings when you give back. It is blessings when you don't have to do something, but you do something for someone else. When you do that, brothers and sisters, you will receive a blessing in this world and in the hereafter. And one of us that is closer, one of us is closer to God than the next person. Do God judge? Oh, yes, he does. Then who is closer to God than one of us? The one who is most mindful of his or her duty to God. Isn't that amazing? So God judges us on our deeds and our actions. And anything that you do that is not correct, you cannot give that to God. No way can you give anything wrong that you do to God. But that's your mistake, and you have to pay for your mistakes. Did you not know there is a debt that you owe God? Oh, that's amazing. You don't think you owe a debt. We count the monies of this world. We count the monies that we owe the federal government. We even count the monies that we owe each individual. But when you die, meaning it is over in this world, you owe God a debt, and you must pay back. Simple common sense. And this is one thing that I will speak about this evening, God willing, is about common sense. We don't have common sense. We don't have a clue where common sense comes from. Well, there was a man that wrote a book, a professor, who gave common sense and made it common. He wanted to know that. I read a few pages of the book and put it down because he actually did not know what common sense and where it came from. But no one teaches the individual. It doesn't make him unintelligent because he does not know. God will never charge you with something you don't know. You could eat the wrong food, but you didn't know. The month of Ramadan is coming in, the month of Ramadan. And you can make a mistake and drink something. You can make a mistake and eat something. You can make a mistake and swallow it and come to your mind, this is the month of Ramadan. Well, God will erase that because it wasn't bad intentions. You had intentions, good intentions to fast, and you slipped, broken. You see how merciful God is? So if you make a mistake out of not knowing, God will erase that mistake from you. But if, in fact, you know what you're doing, but everybody else don't know, but you think you got away. No, you don't get away. Because when you do something that you think is in the dark, meaning nobody can see your thoughts and nobody can see your heart, however, your action to one might think is justified, but you are doing it out of spite. Ah, you just made a major mistake. Your God punished those who has intention on doing harm to others. You see, brothers and sisters, we worry about the law, and you should. You shouldn't break the law. But you have more understanding and fearful of the law. You break the law, you're going to be punished. But you don't know the law of God. See, if you believe in God, you will hate what he hates. And you will love what he loves if you have the ability to be obedient to God. So you know better than the next person. I tell you men out there, you don't know what your wife likes, but do you ask her? Isn't that common sense? What do you like? I always rub your back. Do I not touch you? She said, yes. And I like the idea you touch me. But if you would rub my hair, it would even feel better. Now, you didn't even know that. But you didn't ask. Simple common sense.
Well, didn't I give you a kiss when I walked in the door? Yes, you did, dear. And I appreciate the kiss. But you didn't hold me and kiss me. And you didn't hold me for 2 or 3 seconds longer than normal. Because that means something to me. Simple common sense. My brothers and sisters, you think you're making whoopee on love to your. However, if you really want to know how she should feel, ask her. Oh, she knows her body. She knows what will send her to the moon. If you ask, she will tell you. So out of not knowing, you can do things. It's not bad intentions. You can do things not knowing and run into difficulties. Now you know. A little child will see that fire and stick his hand in that fire. Oh, pull it back right away. That's burning, but they won't do it again. And likewise, in coming into knowledge, when you don't have knowledge of something, you slip. It will shock you and amaze you. But did it wake you up? Did you take yield to it? Did you understand it? That you're not going to make that mistake anymore. Well, just like I'm saying to you on this radio show, that all you have to do is do what's right by God. And my God, you will be rewarded, not only in this world, or in the hereafter. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speaks. And we come to you 7 days a week. Some days are 1 hour on Monday, and 1 hour on Thursday, and 1 hour on Saturday, and 1 hour on Sunday. But all the other days, 2 hours, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We come to you from 7 to 9. And we have many presenters. I like to share thoughts of other people. Because God blesses who he pleases when he pleases. If you haven't, here's an hour. Talk to the world. But if you're talking for your self-gratification, you can't come on my radio. But if you are talking for the sake of development and growth of human beings around the world, think about a radio show, at least my show. Now, there can be other presenters. I give them freedom to do what they want to do. But you can't interrupt my show. Why? I don't like controversies. I don't like giving people my knowledge and they don't listen. See, you have a will. God gives you a will. That's why you have a job as a human being. Did you not understand that the angel does not have a will? The angel only do the will of God. So they got a job. They hear and they obey and they carry out 100%. No deviation whatsoever. Perfect. Perfect creature. But God put us a little above the angel. Now I know you're sitting there saying, Rod, did you go out your mind? How is the human being a little above the angel? Because we have something the angel doesn't have. That is the right to say yes or no. That is the right to believe or not to believe. That is the right to do wrong or do right. Now, do God reward you when you do wrong? Yes. Do he reward you because you don't believe? Yes. Do he reward you because you are a liar? You look successful. But God has said, if I gave you that will, then I'm going to allow you to benefit. But it's called temporary heaven for permanent hell. If you don't believe that, brothers and sisters, look at Nicky Barnes. Did you know that Nicky Barnes had so many females, one he just loved to the maximum? But all those females had no less than $100 million in their wall. Oh, Nicky Barnes was wealthy. He was a dope dealer. And he ruled Harlem, Nicky Barnes, ruled Harlem. He made a mistake and came on the front cover of a magazine, and he said, untouchable. And it fell in the hands of the President of the United States, Carter. And he sent word to the Attorney General of New York, and this was his statement: I want that man behind prison in 72 hours. That's how he got busted. And he went to jail. But he told his men, there's a million women that don't have a man here in New York. Do not touch this woman. That was his main woman. Oh, they came behind the walls and showed Nicky Barnes that his number one guy had his woman. Nicky went crazy. What did he do? Not only was he doing time, but Nicky Barnes gave them all up. Nicky Barnes took down Harlem. All the dope deals. He told on every last one of them. All of them went to jail. Nicky Barnes was given his freedom to shut down drugs in New York. What happened? He's out there with a new identity, plastic surgery, and you ain't heard nothing from him. Frank Lucas. Frank Lucas was so bad that he was using the army, the government, to bring his drugs into Harlem. Oh, he was a bad man. Made a mistake and went to a fight of Muhammad Ali and sat there with a mink coat on that he normally don't wear because he's common, so he never could get picked up. And the federal government said he is somebody. And ever since then, they came down and bust him. Isn't that amazing? So he made a deal. What was his deal? Yes, I'll help you take down these black men that's doing drugs. If you can take down these white men, police officers that's doing drugs, they agree. They took them all down. When he came out of the prison, he was in a wheelchair. He has nothing. Trying to keep his morale by saying, say no to drugs. Temporarily heaven for permanent hell. Now you got these little guys out here dealing drugs. They're not a Nicky Barnes. They're not a Frank Lucas. But they get kings, a law that sends you away for 100 years. Kids are not kingpin. These kids are out here trying to make a living because they have no other way to make a living. Why is all of this happening? This is the day of manifestation, the day of religion. Either you are or you're not. Oh, you can't fake it anymore. Because Satan, the devil, Iblis, call whatever you want to call him, the jinn, he has no more shame. He exposes everything. Every low-life that person is being manifest, what is your low laws in sex, what is your low laws and morals and morality, love and affection, and more important, do you really care about your mother? Why did God create this female? Who is she? Why we should love her and respect her? What has she done in life to get this type of honor, and yet you will not respect her? So I decide tonight, a mother who paid the price and went through the boundary of suffering and pain and have steadfast in her moral decency and her upright spirit, and yet we, the Muslim Islam, will say he never accepted El-Islam. Isn't that amazing? I love this woman because she was a mother to everyone. A mother that was known in Dayton Street. He had 8 floors in building 2 and building 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7. He had 8 floors. He had 8 people on each floor, 64 families. That's a lot of people multiplied by two. Now put the other six to it. Then you had the small bill. So that means it was thousands of people on that land of about 20 acres. Yes, I felt we was rich. It was called Dayton Street Projects. Why was we rich? We had our football field, baseball field, basketball court, our game room. We had our little stores that we went to, our supermarket. Even Sears and Roebuck was built there. And our school, you went to grammar school, you was in Crutchman Pride School, went down the street, and you was in Dayton Street School, took you on to the high school that sent you up on the hill. But we in Dayton Street, there's no such thing as home alone. No such thing as home alone. Everybody was your parent. And yes, there was a little drugs. Some got high. One even died from an overdose. But very rare. Out of those 1,000 people, you might find 10, if there was 10, that was doing drugs. Oh, we fought amongst each other. But you better not get caught in Dayton Street and you didn't live there. You better be a cousin because we will run you out of there. We loved every family there in Dayton Street. But this beautiful young lady, and she was known there because she had so many children. This young lady had 13 children. Now, I say she went through a trial and error. She went through that trial and error. And her name was Margaret. Yes, Margaret. Patterson. Some people call her Margaret L. Patterson. Louise was her middle name. And she was only 16 years old when she married to, she referred to as Pete. I guess her name was Peter. Nevertheless, everybody called her Pete. We didn't call him Pete. We called him by his last name, Peterson. Good morning, Mr. Peterson. Good evening, Mr. Peterson. Good morning, Mrs. Peterson. Good evening, Mrs. Peterson. Yes, this is how we dress the mothers. But what makes this female so outstanding? We had a funeral the other day, Monday. But the funeral, and we are in Islam, if you wasn't moved by the things that were said about her, then you had no soul. Even the preacher, now he don't talk the way we imams talk, but he hit the nail on the head on certain revelations of the Bible. You see, brothers and sisters, I'm a student of Imam Waladi Muhammad, and I take pride in saying that because he used to tell me, Murad, I'm in paradise. Murad, I'm in paradise. Murad, I'm in paradise. I said, Brother Imam, what do you mean you're in paradise? He said, when you study all of Revelation, you're in paradise. See, he had a way of talking to you. He had a way of talking to you that made you think. And so, and when you look at the Injil, the Bible, you will find out that it begins with Genesis. And it ends with Revelation. But when you go to the Holy Quran, it begins with Revelation and it ends with Hanas. But what is God saying? That the Quran is an extension of the Bible. I mean, God didn't stop there. This is, brothers and sisters, is that the Injil, which was given to the Jews, and the Jews dominate because they learned the word of God first. So man created is ill. Because God made us intelligent. We are intelligent human beings. However, they kept it for themselves. So the good Jews created Christianity. Oh, you didn't know the Jews created Christianity? They did. But here come that Einist Jew, that one that chose to be a djinn. And you will see it all in Revelation. The word djinn, we in Islam now knew it through the Holy Quran. But the djinn is mentioned, Gentile. The djinn is mentioned in the Israel, Old Testament, New Testament of the Bible. So it came before the Quran, and most people was unintelligent about that. However, we on Islam, and al-Islam, we study who is this jinn, which was the second creature. So that means men of the book they refer to, today they are doctors in theology. They know who the jinn is. And so that good Jew created Christianity. So therefore, God's words come from the Torah through the Injil, the Bible. But here come that Einist Jew said, we make money off of this. We can create idol gods, make them fall in love with idols, a picture of a man, call him the Son of God, a cross, put that around your neck, holy water. They'll pay for that. Let them swallow a pill and make it think it's the flesh of Jesus. Make them drink wine, a little wine for his time is not going to hurt you. And so they drink. But that's the blood of the human being, because once they were savages and they was eating flesh, didn't know how to cook it. And some of the animals was killed by the fire. That individual came into the forest and began to eat the flesh of the animal. He said, my God, it tastes good. It was cooked. That's no joke. It was cooked. And that's when man realized he should put his food on the fire. He didn't just come into that knowledge. It was sent to him, which he thought was sending man the knowledge that his food should be cooked. Because it sure tastes good. However, they knew that you were too unintelligent to wake up and realize what is Easter. Yes, and that's another story. I'm not here to teach that tonight. But I'm trying to bring a point to you in common sense that the difference from the Injil and the difference from the Torah, both was created by man. Can't get one man on the face of the earth to tell you he or she created the Holy Quran. The Quran was created by God himself. And it states in that book called the Holy Quran, this book is without doubt. For 1,400 years, it's been the same with no interruption whatsoever. This is a book that God gave to all mankind, not just to one group of people called al-Islam. No, the Holy Quran is the nature of the human being. Now, brother, if you now know that, then everything around Adam was a Muslim. Everything around Noah was a Muslim. Joseph was a Muslim. Everything around Moses was a Muslim. Everything around Abraham was a Muslim. Everything around Jesus Christ was a Muslim, wise in Islam. But what is it? Was it their intellect? No. The intellect is confused. The intellect get tricked and conned. But you can't change the nature of that human being. And so I will try to take the opportunity and show you why Allah, the God, that's all that means, the God, Allah, the God, says what makes this female come first. Allah made her come first in life when it comes to love your parent, when it comes to love your spouse, when it comes to love your children. This one man comes first. And I will try to give you simple common sense, inshallah, if it pleases God, to instill in you that you should understand how important your mother is. It's all through revelation. It's all through revelation. And there are some wrong in the Torah, and there's some wrong in the First and Second Testament. Why is it wrong? Because you can't comprehend it. It was too much above your, you could not comprehend it. The words of God in those two books hasn't changed. It's the same words in the Holy Quran. It just gives you more clear understanding. Isn't that amazing that God's words has not changed? So I pray that I can have enough time to enlighten you to the things that took me years to study and took me years to be able to say these things to you. I thank Allah Almighty for my presence today. And I ask him to guide my words. I ask him to bless me every day in my life and my health. Bless me always to understand that he guides us with his mercy. And we want him to have mercy on our understanding, on our soul, our spirit. Have mercy in everything that we do. He is the Lord. He is the creator. We should praise him. Highly glorified is he who created everything in the world as well in the Holy Quran. No one can take credit for that, brothers and sisters. No one can take credit for Allah's creation. But we use the word Muslim. Muslim means one who submit to the will of Allah. Now, I've been in many churches. I haven't been in a synagogue, but I have been in gatherings where we associate with a lot of Jews. And I asked a question. I said, who here submits to the will of God? Would you please stand? Everybody stood up. When I go into churches, I ask the same questions. Who here believe that you submit to the will of God? Would you please stand? Everybody stands. So I simply say to them, that's all Muslim means. Muslim is one who submit to the will of God. Now, I went viral on my radio, Block Talk Radio, but I went viral because I have Christians and Jews saying they are Muslim. It's just an Arab, not Arabic, Arabira. This is God's words. Even Arabs didn't know that word, Muslim. Muslim is the nature of a human being because it submits to the will of God. Your heart beats. By seconds, it's beating, and it can stop. Yes, brother, when you enter into your wife and you inject in her that life germ, your heart starts beating. You don't know that because you don't have common sense. So every time you reach a climax, your heart starts beating. So when you come into the knowledge, you say to yourself, is this woman worthwhile for me to inject in her and die? Rockefeller died in Jersey in a hotel doing just that. So it does happen. Like Carson, he was so rich that it hit all the papers. They found him on top of a female. Dead. Heart stopped. Wouldn't stop beating. So that means there's millions out there died from that and don't understand why. Because you don't come to the knowledge. Now, I ask you a question. Is she worthwhile? Is she worth it for you to inject in her? She ain't even your wife. And you die? So life, if something got to die for something, is to be born. So the female is carrying that seed, and that baby is growing in her. But when she gets on the operation table, she has to give life back. Yes, she died. Some died. The doctor can say, which one you want, the baby or the mother? And some of your fools say, bring me back the baby. Let mama go ahead and die. That's one with unintelligent or with bad intentions. Because you can always make another baby, but you're not going to get that woman back again. I don't care how long you live on this earth. So common sense is how you should see things. If you don't have common sense, then you abuse it. And your common sense is so valuable that God gives it to you in the womb. So all this knowledge that you obtained, you discovered it. You didn't create it. It was here before you. But common sense, that's what makes it common, because every human being on the face of the planet in the womb of their mother was given common sense. Say hello. You say, this is what God gave me. You didn't give it to me, man. God gave it to me. Do you use it? Are you kissing and doing so? Do you have continuity? Or do you use it once in a while? So that female is important. And tonight, God willing, I'm going to show you how important she is. How severe God will punish you that you mistreat her. I'm talking about you, man. I'm talking about you, woman. Nobody should mistreat their mama under no circumstances. But God said, I created the sun and the moon and the stars to obey me. I created the angel and the jinn to obey me. And I created the human being to obey me. Everything I created, the ants, the bees, the birds, animals, submit to the will of God. So who are you, brother, to say that is not a Muslim? You have no right to take the nature from that human being. Is she in Islam? No. Does she know Islam? No. Does she in Judaism? No. Does she know Judaism? No. Is she a Christian? Yes. Does she know Christianity? No. She only hears. She don't study it. That's a religion, fool. That's not the nature of the human being. It's a religion. Oh, is Islam a religion? Well, let's hear what God says. I have created for you a religion and has perfected it to be perfect for you. Allah needs nothing from his creation. Everything is for us. So yes, it's a religion. It are rejected. But what Allah will not accept that you put a God size here. And hopefully, I can bring this to fruition and allow you to understand what I'm talking about. So we say with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the praise and the thanks is for God. We thank him for his gift and his blessing of the mortal human person, Muhammad, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of God, which follows that salute and that translation and that salutation to the last prophet, the seal of the prophet, as mentioned in the Bible, as it is given in the Holy Quran. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa sa'ata wa salam wa sa'asuli kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salaka Allah wa deen. Brothers and sisters, when you use those words, asking God to guide your tongue, you'll be shocked and amazed what will happen. Before I speak about this beautiful woman and make her part of my subject for the next hour and a half, inshallah, I'm going to speak about one of her sons. You know, things happen. My phone is a key to my memory and able to communicate. Yes, that phone is a monster. But the phone costs $1,000. Not everybody can't pay $1,000, but I talk to the world. Saudi Arabia called me, China called me, South Africa called me, Africa itself will call me. So I speak to Venezuela. I speak to Mexico or Poland. A man born in the projects talks to the world. Now, I don't speak their language, brothers and sisters. To speak 8, 9, 10, or 20 languages, I don't have time for that. So I get interpreters. They learn, they speak well. The difference is you got to get one that you trust because they'll talk over your head. How do you know you can trust them? Results. Results. You know, if you got $10 and you got someone speaking in their language, and when they finish, you got $20, you evolved, didn't you? And if you got someone speaking in a different language and you got $100, and all of a sudden you got $1,000, I think he's worth his weight in gold. So that's how you judge a man, is results. You come on a job, and you're a burden, they get rid of you. Nobody likes a burden. But if you come on a job and you're an asset, nobody gets rid of an asset. So look what God says. Stand on your own 2 feet. In the Bible, it says every tub should stand on his bottom. Well, you couldn't see that. It wasn't clear as what the Quran said, stand on your own 2 feet. But the Bible is saying the same thing. And a tub is knowledge. And in Islam, it says you have a divine mind. So the Bible says you have a divine, but you couldn't get it. So every tub should stand on its bottom because it holds a lot of water. It didn't say every bucket, every tub. Every tub because that's a lot of water. But what is water? Knowledge. You obtain the knowledge. It doesn't mean the physical tub. It doesn't mean the physical water. But it represents knowledge. So Islam teaches that. When you see water used, you know there's knowledge. And when you see a tub of physical because you can't comprehend the unseen, it's not physical in Islam. It means you must stand on your 2 feet. God blesses the child that has his own. Meaning you can't be blessed if you don't have your own. But if you get up, create your intelligence, God says, and go get your own, God bless the child that has his own. Well, you know the old saying, common sense. It's better to give than to receive. So if you are given, you have it. God bless the child that has his own. So he puts money in the hand. Muhammad the prophet, prayer, peace be upon him, the seal of the prophet, Muhammad Abdullah, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, he said, the hand that comes down is greater than the hand that opens up. One is receive it, and one is give it. It's better to give than to receive. It means you have it. Simple. Now, don't think you have to work for it. Because for years I wanted to know, why did God say that? It's a meaning. Because all I do is give. No one gives me anything. However, I said, I'd like for someone to give me something. Am I human? And it kept bothering me. And one day I said, I got it. It's better to give than to receive, what God is saying. But give back. Give back. But it don't just mean money. Give back your sensitivity that I gave you. Give back your love and affection that I gave you. Give back your knowledge to those who are not knowledgeable that I've given you. That's all our lives are asking you to do is to give back. We won't give back. So you will pay. Severely, you will pay. Yes, his mercy is greater. But he will punish you for what you have done wrong in this world, hoping that you will repent before you get to the final day of judgment. Because at the final day of judgment, you can't repent. It's over. So he says you're going to struggle in this world. First come difficulty, God says, and then comes ease. And this is why I based it on common sense and why the female comes first. It's important to know that. So my beautiful mama, I don't mind calling her mama because we looked at her as mama in the projects. And that beautiful, lovely specimen of a human being, of an African-American that we call Mrs. Peterson. We didn't call her Margaret. We called her Mrs. Peterson. Her son called me, who I grew up with. We was in martial arts school together, Fuquan. Told him I lost my phone, that great instrument that allows me to talk around the world, a phone that I can film and record anything that I do. One can allow me to bring down emails and contracts, major contracts. I lost the phone. I was on my way to a Jewish family that's been good to the Muslims and very good to me. My technical knowledge of producing and sending uplinks and downlinks and producing my own production that sent me around the world. Keep in mind, when HBO does a production, you can do HBO production. But HBO does not do foreign production. Murad Muhammad do foreign production. That's why I was able to create my own production. So what I've done in America, you'll see it in Italy and France and Paris. You'll see it in South Africa. You'll see it in Ghana and Kenya. You'll see it all over the world. 200 foreign countries, 6 continents. So I became a producer. Why? Because a man named Henry Schwartz, who helped Ali and Herbert to make millions of dollars. They took time out to teach me. I got so good at it that I hired him to do some of my production. And he's A1. He put the satellite up in the sky. He worked for NASA to send the spaceship in the sky. He was a nerd, but a down-to-earth Jew. And to make a long story short, because it ain't about him tonight, he asked me to come to Passover. Now, I know a lot about Passover. That's another story. But maybe one day I'll tell you about it. So I decide I'm coming. He has whole family from all over to meet this man that he taught that supersede beyond his imagination as becoming a major promoter in the world. So I decide I'm going to do something I normally don't do. Let's take a train. And so a man behind me decided to take me to the train station. He don't even know this. And I got there just in time, and asking 100 questions, walking down tunnels and going downstairs to get to the right train. And I got the number 4 window. I said, I'm going to Long Island, and I need to know how I'm supposed to get there. And they said, oh, buy this ticket, go over there to 18 and get on the train. So when I got on the train just in time, I felt good. And I said to the African-American woman, excuse me, madam, am I going to the right place and handing my ticket? She said, oh, yeah, it stops right there. I said, thank you. I'm looking for my phone to call him and say I'll be there. I didn't have my phone. I had 2 thoughts. First thought said, get off your phone is more important. My second thought said, no, don't disappoint that family. You'll get your phone tomorrow, you call up. And Allah sent an angel. The young lady said, sir, I will go get that phone. That's your communication. I jumped off the train. The Caucasian said, don't worry, there's no one coming in 1 hour. He said, he didn't see my phone. They called out, did anybody see a phone? Nobody saw a phone. I went to the counter. They told me to go to Lost and Found. Walked all the way down to Lost and Found. He said, no one brought no phone like that here. I said, what do you think I'll have to do? Can you give me a number? And the Italian man said, sir, don't call the Lost and Found. You're not going to get through. Come back in 2 days and you might find it. I was lost. I didn't know nobody's number. I couldn't think of nobody's number, my children, my wife. I didn't know a number by heart. Because I don't know what to do now. I got to get out of here. I can't go where I was going. I got to come back. So I said, I know a number, Eliel. Now, he's been with me for years, same number. But I don't have no change. These telephone boosters, I think they're the pits. So I called Colette. They said, sorry, he hung up. Called again. Sorry, he hung up. And I said, what is this fool not picking up the phone? This is me. But he knew I was with the Jewish family. There's no way I could be calling him Colette, and he has a phone. I said, what am I going to do? So I figured out, asked 1,000 people how to get back. Then I had to find a train to get to my automobile. And that stress that's on you. Can you think about all the stuff? If you saw my phone, you would be on my phone for the next 6 months reading all the things that I have done that stalled in my soul. Now, they say it goes to iCloud, and probably do. So I decide to go up to the mall to see about my soul. Meanwhile, I call my beloved sister, Joan. May Allah bless her with barakats in this world and hereafter. That woman tried all the way to their clothes to find my phone. It didn't happen. So I got to buy a new phone because I got to talk to you all, because you can be on your hotline, but this phone, you can be in Istanbul and this radio show goes on. So my phone was very important to me, nor would I have the number to be able to contact as the facilitator of this show. Now, I probably could have got it, but I don't know the facilitator's number by heart. Let's see what technology do for you. So I gave a call to and put it on my voicemail that if you contact me, sorry to inconvenience you, I don't have a phone. And Mrs. Peterson called me, Fuquan. He said, you lost your phone? I said, yeah, man, I lost my phone. He said, I'm going to pray for you. It is, brother. He said, but make a dua at Zohar. I'm going to make a dua. And anybody else I tell you, make a dua that you found the phone. And he told me about another brother and that lost his wallet. And he found it, all intact. Police officer called him and told him he had the phone. But the lady told me, you can buy a new phone. Give me $1,000, we'll give you one right now. Something said, do not do it. Then I said, I'll just turn on my old phone. And got all the way to where to turn on, didn't have it. What do I do? So I'm riding back saying, all this is for a reason. But I'm going to take this pressure off of me. It is what it is. I lose everything. I start all over again. God is great. Eliel called me. I got a phone call. Muslim sister just found your phone. It's in New York Penn Station. Yeah, I'm leaving now. I get a place take. It got to take you at least 40 minutes to get there. I got there in 20. And I parked my car and ran in there. And the tiny boy said, you're Murad Muhammad. We got your phone. You famous, man. How is so-and-so? How is Roy Jones Jr.? How is this? How is that? They asking all about fighters. You think Muhammad Ali could have beat Joe Lewis? Oh, they kept me for a while. I had to get out of there because I got to get back and do this show. I am now talking to you on my original phone. Don't tell me God is not great. But at the same time, when I called Fuquan to thank him, and he said, brother, this is what we're supposed to do. It's ask Allah, give our burdens to Allah. But you got to get up and go to work now. Don't mean you sit there, you give your blessings. And this is all been manifest in 2 days. And how I see it. Because my wife says to me, it's how you live. You live an upright life. And because you live an upright life, God is with you. God is all the pressure. And believe me, family can give you pressure. But I remove that pressure. It's all material, temporarily. It could be my trial. And I have never, ever made material substance my God. I don't do things for the sake of money. I do things for the sake of helping people. And so, here's a woman that had 13 children and passed away at 94 years old with no pain, didn't walk with a crush. Memories are perfect. I talked to her. A person that understands dimension. He said dimension could be turned around. But when you got people around that can't give them that love and that attention, he said they will slip. But it can be rebound. But it comes with affection and love and laughter and joyful and being just happy in your environment. Well, she did have that. You know what the prophet said? Prayers of peace be upon him. He said, if you send your mother to bed crying, God will push you closer to hell. Wow. Allah was said that when you abort your children. I don't mean thrusting down the toilet. It means when you ignore the love that God has given you, he will hang you for abusing your mother by your nipples in the hellfire. You know, brothers and sisters, I said, wow, hang them by their nipples in the hellfire, and it dawned on me. Important mama is that he show you something severe to wake you up. That mama's important. I'm getting fired up already because everybody know I love my mama all the way to her grave. I never, ever hollered at my mother. I never cursed at my mother. I never cursed around my mother. And more important, she can whoop my tail and I'll get right back up on her. I've never in my life said I'm angry with my mother. Maybe that's why Allah blessed me. Because I love what he said, love. Loved it when no one told me as I got older and started getting brave enough and big enough to do what I wanted to do. I love my mother. So Mrs. Peterson gets married at 16 years old to Pete Patterson. And she went through 9 months to carry that baby. 9 months of struggle. 9 months of pain. 9 months of her body being out of proportion. 9 months of gas. And on that operation table, when that doctor say push, and she pushed. Push, and she pushed. Push. That pain she went through, and that baby came out. She has just submitted her will to God because she brought life into the world. Now listen what God says in the Holy Quran. There's also in other the books, but most of my audience are Muslim and Islam. But I thank you, Christmas. I love you. I thank you for all the texts that you send me. Jehovah Witnesses I've talked to, and Seven Adventures I've talked to, and people that's in different entities of religion that calls me. Sometimes they call me late to talk to their wives and their husbands and why we say we all are Muslim. I'm telling you that Mrs. Peterson did the will of God in her nature. And when that baby was put in her arms, Allah erased all the pain. How do you know that, Mara? Because she had another one. He erased that. And then she had another one. And he erased that. And then she had another one, and another one, and another one. And she erased that. What, is she a freak? Or is she doing the will of God? And she gave to this world 13 assets. Don't you tell me she's not a Muslim, because she never complained and was able to grow up with all of them. And more important, today they're not criminals. They're not drive-by shooters. They're either in Christianity or in Islam. Didn't the books say that Jesus and Muhammad will come together? Well, in the Patterson family, those who believe in Jesus, so do we. And in Islam, they believe in Muhammad, the Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, has came together. And they didn't even know it. You see, Muhammad, the Prophet, prayers, peace upon him, was raised by Allah for 40 years. But he didn't know he was a Muslim. He had no clue. He had no clue about religion. He had no clue about God. So how did he operate 40 years? 40 years, how did he operate? Allah was teaching him through his nature. Mrs. Patterson was being operated by God through her nature. She had no knowledge of it. She had no knowledge of religion. Oh, she might have read her Bible. She might say, oh, God, help me. But her nature was operating. Didn't you not see her nature? For God said, I have created you as one soul. Her and Pete was one. There was no other man. It was just her and Pete, one soul. And I will multiply you as man and woman, meaning coming together, flesh coming together, as some priests try to tell you that is unlawful to put flesh and next flesh to you have now. So you have now the priest telling you that's a sin, and they don't have women, but they have little boys. They went against matter. They went against the grain. Not Mrs. Peterson. Now, why I keep putting emphasis on her? Why? Because she's an example in the entire Dayton Street Project. And she is an example now to the world, because I'm speaking about her, that she operated in her good nature as an upright human being without the knowledge that man teaches you in this world, teens, children. Three of them passed away, but she didn't miss no beat. All her 10 children that was alive, and the other three in spirit, was there at that funeral. Married. Her children are married. I know some of you say, oh, he got married, divorced, got married again. Married. Oh, he went to school, dropped out after a bachelor's degree, went back for his master's degree, dropped out, came back. Still an educator. They all got married. They all had successful. And the most important, I asked Fuquan to send me a text, but I believe he might not have forgotten it. Take a guess at it. Her son was the first one to adopt El-Islam in the family. Now, let me look at that. When I spoke at the funeral, I talked about Ahmed Abayina, who taught all of us. So Mrs. Patterson, Mrs. Peterson, she said, I don't like you, Ahmed, because you brought my children into Islam, as she called it. So he was not liked by her. Well, one, you can understand it. I think he's the middle son. Don't hold it to me, but he wasn't the oldest. But Shaheed was the first Muslim on his level, not Muhammad Ali's level. Keep in mind, Muhammad Ali wasn't going to Vietnam. But because he was Muhammad Ali and had the money, he went free. But Shaheed was not Muhammad Ali. But to us, in El-Islam, he was Muhammad Ali. He did not go to Vietnam. He went to jail. So that bothered Mrs. Pearson. It would bother any mother. That my son in jail, and I raised him to be an educator, and today he can take a computer, break it down, and put it back together. But he had a very mild-mannered demeanor. He was my brother's best friend. He used to come in the house all the time. Musa, Saeed, Ahmed, all was together. But he stood up against the draft and went to jail. So Mrs. Peterson was angry. Then here come her other sons, Rahman, who I went to school. We sit side to side in the South Side. He became Muslim. Then Fuquan, he became Muslim. And then Ali. He became Muslim. Ali traveled all over. He was my limo driver for years. Never got an accident. I paid a lot of money for those limousines. But that man was loyal in what he gave his time to, he and I. And here come Barbara. We didn't get ice cream and candy because back then she was puppy love with my cousin, Saladin. Donald, they called him. And she knew when she was around me, she was going to see Donald. Smart. But then here comes, then Cookie came. Don't hold me to it. So half of her children accepted El-Islam. But they all grew up so fine. Asset to society and not a burden. So Ahmed goes to her years ago and says, Mrs. Peterson, you still angry with me? She said, no, I'm not angry with you. Matter of fact, I love you. And you are one of my sons. Ahmed told me he was so happy that she now called him her son. Why? Because she saw what Islam has done for her children. If Islam can do that, then I gotta love you. That's only simple common sense. So guess what? And I said it openly. He didn't say it. I gave him the accolades. And I got up and I said that he walked into that nursery home prior to her dying. And she told everybody, here come my son, Willie Gray. Now, she could call him Willie Gray. That was his name. She said, I'm there behind me. She called him his second name that he wears today, Albanina. Ahmed Albanina. That's one of the juice of the Quran. That woman knew what to say to people. And that touched him because his mother's deceased. So he got another mother. Brothers and sisters, you don't make babies. You make whoopee. Only God makes babies. So when you see our history, and they say history repeats itself, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah be pleased, when we're in paradise, I love him because the Petersons, the Lears, the Johnsons, the Browns, I don't care who you was, 10 million people on dope, acid, women abuser, drug pushers, pimps, don't want nothing out of life, smoking cigarettes, drinking, eating the worst things you can eat. See, he cleaned us up. He didn't teach us religion. He taught us how to be clean internally because you can't come to prayer dirty. So he was wudu. So all these fools that talks about him, those are the ones that smoke, those are the ones that drink, those are the ones that play like they're clean. But I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about her sons benefited, and it rubbed off on the Christians. So today, most Christians don't eat pork. Most Christians don't drink liquor. Most Christians don't go out and party. So don't think it didn't have effect. So we call them sympathizers. What made us successful in this country as one. That's how we was taught. But then, Imam Wadhuddin Muhammad brought us to the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We was ready. We made wudu for 10, 15, 30, 40 years. Now we're ready to make sajda prayer. You see the difference, brother? Because things come in moderation. The Holy Quran was revealed in moderation. Islam is in moderation. Hey, you just, this ain't no crash course. You take shahadatain and all of a sudden you run in a hajj. You don't even know what la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah means. And you can't come out of order. You got to stay in order. Stay in Allah's matter. He created us. You go ahead, you run to a brick wall. But this woman represents what I'm getting ready to bring to your attention. When Mary, Virgin Mary, you know her. I sure do. I'm a Muslim. I read Revelation. But her mother and father wanted to make a son because something was going wrong. Jerusalem was not acting right. So we need a man because a man is a leader. So that baby was Mary. But Allah plans and Allah is a desert planner. So Mary was delivered. So when we was in the Nation of Islam, we said, oops. We have to do this all over. What do you mean you have to do it? Because we need a man. Allah said, wait. I don't need you, man. I don't need no man to do what I can will. So he sent the angels to Mary and told Mary that she was going to receive a baby without the aid of a man. She said, how am I going to do that? No man ever touched me. Oh, that's a beautiful word. a saying, beautiful saying, no man ever touched me. Allah wanted to show you that history repeats itself. If a man can come out of dirt, mud, a human being, where did he get him from? Out of the earth and mold and shaped it and breathed into the nostril of Adam some of his spirit, and look at us today. For we are the children of Adam. Is that amazing? But you won't talk about your father. Or you talk about your existing father, or one that passed away 100 years ago or 10,000 years ago, but you won't talk about Adam. And Satan does not want you to talk about Adam, but he brought Adam into the world. So I wanted to know. I wanted to know, where was Eve? How could God leave Eve out? So the book said he went to sleep so he don't have no pain, and he breathed Eve through his rib. And why the woman is a rib, because it bends. All this spooky stuff that makes no sense. And you talk about you reading the Holy Quran. They ain't reading the Holy Quran, brother. You're reading Christianity. Allah must have made a mistake. Just like Mary was delivered and should have been a man, God knew what he needed. But there's no way that Mary came here, Eve didn't come here with Adam. So the Holy Quran put that to rest. I created one soul. One more, one soul. So God says that the mother comes first. So what about the spouse? Y'all one. If you don't believe that, you say it all the time. That's my other half. So if you ain't a whole man, you a half a man running around. So Eve, you think if Allah can bring it through mud, dust, that he got a problem of bringing it out of a flesh? Allah said, watch this one. He brought Jesus through the womb of a female. And that is the common sense point. Adam, Noah, Joseph, Moses, Abraham, Jesus, including Muhammad the prophet, prayers, peace be upon him, all came through that tunnel. Dr. King, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Emmanuel Wallace D. Muhammad, Booker T, Du Bois. Shall I go on? Every human being came through that tunnel. Whoa! You see how important they are? Because they all had to come through a woman. Oh, I know. I better explain Adam, because there was no woman. Do you call Adam that came through the earth, Father Earth? No. You don't have a clue why it's called Mother Earth. It's a womb. Yes, we go down in Ruku position. But that's that big head becoming parable to the heart. Because a big head is big. Big in his mind. You know, he's a legend in his own mind, but the smallest thing on his body. But yet that head is the ruler. So God makes you go down in Ruku position from Qiyam, and you have to bend. You know, you have some brothers put their head down there on the floor while they're standing up. No, it goes in Ruku where the head parable with the heart. Allah said, you're equal. You're equal, man. Why are you not in touch with your heart? Well, now you can't say anything. And you're down there, Allahu Akbar. You can't move without God. And then you come back up in Kiam. So the head is up in the sky. The Bible says your head is in the sky. Allah says, that's right, but I'm going to bring him out of there. And you're going to put all those senses and all that knowledge and doctor degree and engineer. You're a master of what? Put it down on Sajda. You go and say your prayer with your forehead. Where is it? On the floor. No, man, where is it? On the rug. No, man, where is it? It's on the earth that gave you birth through your daddy, Adam. The womb. Put that head down on that womb and put those hands flatly on the earth. Put your knees, bend them, and bend those toes. Now go look in the womb of your mother and see if you are not doing the same thing when you humbled yourself and you had to depend on God's creation. You didn't have to breathe on your own. You didn't have to think on your own. You didn't have to feed yourself when you was in that paradise called the womb of the mother. So we go down, 1,500,000,000 people go back down on the earth that gave us birth. We ain't just down there playing. But they don't know why we make such a prayer. Told his angels, bow to in such a prayer to my new creation, the Khalifa. Oh, Iblis didn't want to bow. You made me out smoke this fire, Lord, and you want me to bow to mud and dirt? He said, yes, I don't want you to bow to mud and dirt, but when I breathe into Adam's nostril, some of my spirit, you bow. That's your internal organs. That's Allah. You can't see it. You can't operate without you. It submits to the will of God. So when that head is on the rug, that's why the Christians call it, I'm created in God's image, not that physical body you see internally in deep darkness where that seed that you plant in her, you don't see it. It's in triple darkness, like the food you eat. Where it comes from? The womb of the earth in triple darkness. That's when God operates. He don't need you to see anything. But now, brothers and sisters, now, that big head has submitted his entire will. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. God is great. You say it, but you don't understand it. And then you sit down. Oh, Allah, forgive me and have mercy on my soul. No. Imam Wallace Muhammad said, forgive us. You didn't do this by yourself. Your unintelligent didn't come by yourself. Someone help you. Oh, Allah, forgive us. Have mercy on us. Because you didn't make a mistake by yourself. Question was asked of Muhammad, the prophet, prayers of peace upon him. Who's the most important person in your life? He said, my mother. Who's the second most important person in your life? My mother. Who's the third person? Third most important person in your life, my mother. And who is the fourth? My father. Well, brother, we'd be here for another 5 hours teaching you about your father. But we're talking about three times he gave the credit to the mama, because the mother was created to give birth to all of us. And Mrs. Peterson's contribution with 13. And for that, he kept her morals high. She had one man at the age of 16. And they was married for 60 years. Some of y'all came and stayed married for 2 months. And you think you did it, brother? You did it, sister? Was that not the will of God? And they all operating in this earth because of her womb. So, yes, she's important. For in Fatiha, You got two mercies in Fatiha. I want to educate you. It comes in seven levels. Seven levels. Seven levels to heaven. Seven levels of the door that Satan comes in. Your two nostrils, your two ears. You know, what got me is that I used to say this, and people just didn't know that you got to have two eyes. You have to see it. You have to smell it. You have to hear it. And you got to taste it. Allah puts the angels to protect Satan because that's how he comes in. So here we go. Seven times around the Kaaba. Seven times running from one mountain to the other. Seven times thrown into Satan. Seven levels to Fatiha. But I'm not here to teach you how to say Fatiha. You all know, but you didn't know that it's seven levels. So I can teach on the first level for 2 months, 3 months, four. How about four before I get to the second one? But I'm jumping here to just put it all in perspective. Two, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Twice Allah repeats it. But the first mercy is your mother. That's your mother. Why do you think in Islam it says, man, leave that child alone? That's the mother. Because the mother instills in the child that man can't give him. What is that, Maran? Love. Oh, does she love you up? She holds you in the bosom and rock you. She lay you on her chest so you can hear the heartbeat. That's why you can go to sleep and be at peace. Affection. You sick, she got affection. She got so much affection for you, she doesn't want you sick. So she nurses you back to health. Consideration. You got to eat, man. She provides for you. And you don't have to go to the store. Just suck that breast. 13 people sucking that breast. What, is she a freak? Or she's operating in the nature in which God has created her. She teaches you how to walk and catch you when you fall. And then you grow up and disrespects her. You abuse her. You holler at her. You scream at her. You take things away from her. Want everybody to think she's out of her mind. Oh, you're going to be cursed. If you look at it, most of them that does is cursed already. They just can't see it. A lot blinds them. They lose their children. They don't have this one. They can't get married. You think that's normal? No, that's your sickness. Because you ain't operating in the will of God. So Christianity can't take credit, nor can Islam take credit. It's a religion. I have given you a religion since you want religion, man. But where was religion with Adam? Where was religion with Noah? Where was religion in all the prophets until the Holy Quran came through Muhammad, the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It is the natural creation of God, that man do not enter into a woman unless it's his wife. And he don't need no third party to tell him. It's in his nature. But Satan done took it so far that you got to put it on a piece of paper in order to say it's real. As if God don't see you. Serve God as if you see him, but no, you can't see him, but he can see you. Oh, you don't believe that. But keep in mind, every child came out of Miss Patterson and came out with two angels. Well, I say Mrs. Peterson. But Mrs. Peterson is the creation of God. You are Mrs. Peterson, female. We are Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are Jesus. We are Abraham. So I go on. They got the same nature as we got. And that's why you remember Walidin Muhammad, who came from amongst us. Allah blessed him with the insight. We ain't killing nobody. We ain't talking Allahu Akbar and enslave people and rape people and do things undespicable to people around the world. He taught us follow the Uswa. the nature of Muhammad the prophet. Don't dress like him. Don't look like him. Don't try to be tall like him. Don't marry 20 women. That's not what Allah has asked you to do. But the humbleness, submission to the will of God that he gave his whole self to, that is the nature of the human being. So here Mrs. Peterson operated for 60 years as a dedicated believer in God. Oh, you talk it, and she lived it. Oh, did she love people. Come to her house, you are her child. Ahmed become her child. I'm her child. Herbie is her child. Even Alif is her child. Everybody was her child. Oh, was she loved in that building. That's the way you go out. There's no fake was in that church. Everybody in there loved Mrs. Peterson. See the reward God gave her? Now, common sense said to me, I see some low-life females. They was junkies. They was prostitutes. Men ran through them. They did everything but the right thing, and most of those women don't even want a man. Why? Because Satan got them. Satan leave them alone. He got them. He working on you that want to be like Mrs. Peterson, that understand I was created to be with a man. So we have to love her. So the first mercy is your mama. We love our mama so much that we think she God. So Allah brings you to the second mercy. See, the first mercy was physical. Because you needed that, brother. If you didn't have that, you become cold-blooded, cackling. Nobody gave me any love. I want to be loved. So I'm going to kill him. Ain't nobody love me. Allah knew you needed that female. Muhammad the Prophet ﷺ was orphan. But the uncle knew he can't nurse her. He needed that breast. The daughter be fed. And more important, he needed that love and affection. Man can't give him that. So he, for years, was going to each different family till he got old enough that he's just right for man. 9, 10 years old, the man steps in and give him his ability and teach him. We don't make our children come to prayer. Allahu Akbar, come to life, son, on your own. There's no compulsory in Islam. Make sure you know that 1 year old, she or he is bowing her head, jumping on your back. Let them. You chase them, they'll never like prayer. Let them jump. Let them run around you. Let them make noise. That's the blessing. They're innocent. You got angels in the house and you don't even know it. But you don't discipline that child. Mama, because she knows just how to discipline them. We men, we're so strong we can abuse, so we don't touch those babies. When you got common sense. See, we say religion, common sense. Mrs. Peterson had natural common sense. Stability, continuity, repetition. That woman stayed with that man. Now, was he perfect? On Friday, we used to sit. We could be in the baseball field, and we saw Mrs. Peterson walking around the field. We said, oh, there she go. And we knew when she walked in that bar, she coming out with her husband. It's Friday. Because she knows he's over there spending that money. So she said, all right, got to go. When she called, he comes. So it ain't perfect. Everybody got a problem. If you find a man and he don't have a problem, you should run like hell. Because God says that I will raise from the earth a group of people that don't sin. Why? Because you have no one else to beg for forgiveness but God. The problem you have, you don't come to him. So the story, I had a burden on me. I lost my phone. So at Zuhr prayer, I made a dua. We call it a dua, brothers and sisters, because we put our hands on the navel that connected to our life. Our mother was our life. And that's how we was connected. So we put our hands, our left hand there, over the navel, and the right hand over. Now you're praying. It's all a connection. It's a ritual. you know, because there's hundreds. Even Satan does that. And he's Satan. So it's a ritual. But it's like exercising. You're going to run that marathon, you got to exercise. You want to be obedient to God, you got to exercise. But when we do a dua, we hold our hands, palms out. Why? We're begging. We don't put it on the navel, that's praying. Now we're doing a dua, we're begging. Asking Allah to give us the mercy, give us the blessing. And the phone showed up. Now, you may not see it, but only people can see it, clean understanding and obedient to God. If you hide, man, you spooky. You talk like that. Well, he can't see. He's cloudy. He don't understand. 5 prayers a day, because why? That morning, the break of dawn is the break of knowledge. The sun is up. The whole world is lit during the day. Allah don't need you to talk. Even the imams don't speak. Why? Because Allah don't need you to speak. The light's on. They can see it for yourself. Now you're coming down to Asa. You ever see the shadow going straight across Harazana? Some people say Asa is greater than Zul. Some people say Zul is greater than Asa. More important, 2 most important prayers. Argument. No, Allah show you that shadow is Harazana. They equal. The difference is you're getting ready to rescind. The light's getting ready to get turned off. So Asa means pressure. So the Ulima has got to keep revelation alive, because we're getting ready to send down into darkness. And now when you go down in darkness, you got to say your prayers out loud, because no lights are lit no more. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. You don't say that. It's Zul. You don't say that loud. You follow the imam. You don't say a word. Allah doesn't need you. That's the post of Muhammad the Prophet. Read your Quran. But then we make our 3 prayers. Some of us don't even make the 2 sunnahs. Some of us make 4 sunnahs. Some may make 6 sunnahs, because they don't have a clue. You don't make no sunnah after Asa, and you don't make it before Asa. Why? Allah only wants you to give them 5. 3, your obligation prayer, and 2, sunnah. What does that represent? 5 senses. Oh, Allah, guide my 5 senses when I go to sleep. And I pray, Allah, that I can awaken to my 5 senses. See how important 5 senses is? Oh, if I sound intelligent, I'm a student of Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. And Allah has blessed him to go around the whole Islamic world. But more important, brothers and sisters, that Buddhists, they love him. The Jews, they loved him. The Christians, the folk of Lardis, she went to her grave saying, La ilaha illallah. She believed in one God. That's what she said. I'm a Muslim. But yet she's the head of the Christian organization called the Folk of Lardis, one of the most successful Christian organizations there is. And Muhammad is the seal of the prophet. Come on, man. This is Imam. But who you know? Who do you know walked into the Vatican and spoke to the men of the cross and walked towards the Pope? Walked towards them. That's a no-no. Nobody moved. It is on all YouTube. The Pope gets up for nobody. But he got up for Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad. He kissed him on his cheek like we kiss each other. He went to kiss him on his left cheek, and the Pope kissed him. Once again, that was a strong message to the world that Jesus and Muhammad has came together. The question was asked to the prophet, may the peace and blessing be upon him. The question came from a person, an individual, But this individual asked the most important question to him. He said, "Oh, messenger of God," he said, "can you tell me something that nobody else can tell me?" You might have thought that was a very question that was asked that the prophet should have had a problem with. But he respected him. He respected him very highly. He's a normal man. But this young man felt that, "Hey, I want to know. And since I want to know, you should tell me, since you're the messenger of God." And I believe that the man's heart was right. I mean, you can tell it. You can't sometimes figure things out, brothers and sisters. It's got to come to you. Allah has sent it to you. And you can see things that people do not see. You can see that some people just cannot. So the prophet was asked by a person, "Tell me something that I don't know about. Can you tell me?" That person wanted a very important, special gift that may come from the prophet. And he told me, he said, "I believe, and thereafter, I've been straight up." Simple, common, right to the point. Straight up. What is he saying? Sirata Mustaqim. I have believed. Kuhu Amentu. I believe. King, the straight path, that's all he told him. That's all the prophet told him. Nothing big, nothing small. But he never heard it. And that's what they do. They came to him and he made it simple, not difficult. And he spoke in their language, was Arabic. Don't get confused, because they didn't know the Holy Quran, so he couldn't speak Arabic. They wouldn't have gotten it. But they trust him that he can speak his language. So the man taught me. He said, "Don't go and brag how the Arabic you know. That's for you and Allah. So you can see it and give it to him what you're doing now. Give it to him in English. And let them go read the Quran for themselves, and Allah would give it to them." This is simple common sense. So here you have Mary, who wouldn't let her uncle feed her. She said, "I'm fasting." The mother told her, "Go to my daughter. She needs to eat. I'm fasting," she says. She turned the food down. Virgin has nothing to do with anything below your dress, sister. That's not the way Allah is calling Mary a virgin. She is a virgin in her divine mind. And she had to teach her son. And Allah didn't need no confusion from no man of this world. So she was a virgin of that knowledge. She didn't have to eat it. Just like Adam and Eve, don't eat from that tree, the apple. The apple is sweet, but the sugar coated is a lot of sugar coated with sugar. Don't eat from that tree, Adam. What is the tree? Knowledge. Don't swallow that knowledge. That's all that means. It had nothing to do with no real apple or real tree. Say, don't you eating from the wrong tree, meaning somebody's giving you their knowledge that's got you all messed up. So she didn't need her father. Her uncle. Her uncle couldn't tell her anything because Allah was feeding her, just like Allah was feeding Mrs. Peterson. She didn't need you mothers to tell her to get rid of her baby. She didn't need you to say, "Well, tie your tools." She didn't need nobody saying, "Well, you're a freak with all these babies." Oh, no. Allah didn't need her, y'all, to tell her anything. She was pure in her obedience to God. And all her children love her curse her. They don't tell her what to do, how to do it. If they didn't like something, you might as well get the hell out of the house. She don't talk to your mother anyway. But you do. And you out there that mistreat this woman that's called your mother, you go to hell. You in hell now, but you got time to repent. But you're so evil like Satan. Satan cannot repent. You know that the Bible says there's no alcohol but you drink. You know the Bible tells you about fornication and adultery, but you commit it. Don't you think that if people know that you messing with somebody's husband and you ain't married to them since y'all don't like two, three, or four in Islam that keeps you pure, no, you got one husband, but you're messing with this one and that one. You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Then it's your history. Instead of repenting, you get uglier. And you want to destroy your mother's life by getting involved what she want out of life. Do you think that those 13 children can come to their mother and say, Mama, don't act like this. Curse him out. I will not curse him out. Mother, tell him to go to hell. I will not tell him to go. Mother, do so. They can't tell that woman that's a part of God's creation what you just they should do. She got to stand on her own two feet. You owe a debt to God. He gives you the air to breathe. Hold it. Don't give it back. You die. He gives you food to eat. If you don't let it out, you will die. He gives you water. Don't let it out, you will die. Everything good, you must get back. And you're telling me that mama raised you, nursed you, babied you, taught you, provided for you, there when you were sick, and you give her hell now, and you make her feel like she's a lost. You already sent her to a grave while she's alive. She can't have no visitors. Nobody can talk to her. She can't go out nowhere, and she can't pick who she is. Oh, she has dementia. She has sickle cell. She has cancer. She has all these things that you have created in your mind. And God forbid, you probably die before she do. She don't have any of that. But you will pay. Because the angel on that left of you that was given to you in your womb, it's an old saying, everything in the dark will come to the light. And you thought it meant this world. No, on the final day of judgment, your portfolio will be read to you, and that's the angel on the left. And the angel on the right, shut down. He don't tell you nothing no more, and that's why you go astray, and can't nobody help you. You're evil, you do things on spite, and you don't think you're right in your record. But if you had woke up and realized, there's preachers now trying to teach the truth, because what that preacher preached, I heard a very intelligent man named Ahmed Albaina, the one I just spoke of. He said if he wasn't in Islam, he would have ran to Christianity to be behind him, because everything he said was on the money. And he was literally trying to tell you that kindergarten way of reading the Bible, that kindergarten way of how you understand, it's not what God is saying. It's nothing wrong with death. We all got to go there. You have to struggle to get there. You want to get out of grammar school, you got to study. You got to make the right grades to get to high school. To get out of high school, you got to study. You ought to go to college. That's man. You don't think you have to work and be obedient to God to get to heaven? No, some of y'all should pray you don't die. Because if you die and your bad outweigh your good, you go to hell. You don't make it to heaven, you go to hellfire. But if you change and strive towards God and change your ways, you can repent. God is most merciful, all forgiving, all seeing. What part you miss? I remember a pimp came in front of Ali talking. Ali loved the way he was talking. But he said, do you do that in front of your mother? He said, no, I don't do that in front of my mother. He said, then why are you doing it in front of God? Very profound, Ali. That's so true. You fear your mother, but you don't fear God. Well, the second part of Fatiha, the mercy is coming into the knowledge to know the woman that you love, I taught you how to love through her. To love what, Allah? You. I taught you how to love me. Your mother trained you to love me. But come into the knowledge that I created you and your mama. So I come first. Oh, I got it now. I know how to put mama in her perspective place. I'm not going to let my wife get involved with my mama because she's got to respect my mama if she want to love me and I would love her. Well, she comes first. Husband, what number I have? We won. There's no number. When you start counting, that's my mama. And my mama can't do what you can do for me because we both go to hell. But she's my mama. But I'm not a slave to her. I'm not a slave to you. I'm a slave to no one that created you, mama, and myself. That's what God is saying to all of us. Work as if you can see God. But know he cannot see you. Pardon me. Know that you cannot see him, but he can see you. That's what God is saying to us. You have to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul. You got to be able to be obedient to God or he will not help you. You can't walk on this earth and just do anything. You cannot mistreat your mama. I'm telling all you out there, you ain't making it. You're not making it. You make that woman cry. You make that woman sad. You cut her off from the world and got her thinking that she's somewhere she shouldn't be. I got a call. I got a few minutes. I got a call from a Jewish family. Said, Mr. Muhammad, we read your words. We hear your words. But we have a mother that won't go nowhere because she's dying from cancer. She just want to roll over and die. I said, well, what would you like me to do? Can you talk to her? I had to talk to her. I did talk to her. I said, you can't give up on God. Don't count when you're going to die. That's up to God. Call me back 2 months and thank me. She went around the world. Jewish went around the world. I said, let me speak to her. I said, she passed away, but very happy. Thank you. She got out the house. She started going places and meeting people. I said, alhamdulillah, oh, little me, did that for a Jew. Now, I don't see her as a Jew because I don't even know what she looked like. They told me she was Jewish. She's a human being. We don't judge people. Oh, this guy is a kafir. This one is this. No, brother. He is the Quran. Oh, Muhammad, the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam's wife told him. Aisha, they said, who is your husband? He's a walking Quran. Tell him. Tell him, Muhammad, you are a human being just like them. A mortal human being. So that means you are walking Quran. They are walking Quran. It's just that you don't come into the knowledge to understand that you are walking. Don't fault me that Allah has blessed me to understand that these words come from Quran. And if I said anything to hurt you, I apologize. That is not my intention. But if I said anything wrong, mispronounced anything, all you scientists out there, hey, I'm human, but you got the point. But if I said anything to make you stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, revert back to your outfit and the nature in which you was created, and be obedient, your taqwa, be obedient to God. Don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I greet you from Adam, from Noah, to Joseph, to Moses, to Abraham, Jesus, and Muhammad, the seal of the prophet, with the Arabic word from the Holy Quran. God's words. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Thank you for listening.